This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Allergy season is on its way and you need the Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Save $200 on the 3-Pack. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use code Howie3 to order.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Biden is speaking now, and we will pull any sound, any breaking sound from that and deliver it to you in just a little bit. But I'm very excited about my next guest, and I think everyone should be. Dr. Marty McCary is a surgeon and public policy researcher at Johns Hopkins University. He's also an author of two New York Times bestsellers, including The Price We Pay, which you can get now. Dr. McCary, thank you so much for coming on the program.
Great to be with you, Grace.
I want to start with the piece that you recently wrote for Fox News, and everyone can check that out at foxnews.com. It's titled 10 Biggest COVID Mistakes. Let's start, doctor, if you don't mind, with the mistakes. I'm going to kind of put two together. One is ignoring natural immunity, and the other is downplaying therapeutics. It's hard for people not to read about public health officials' reluctance to look at these remedies or these, you know, these potentially good things and cast them to the side without thinking that this has to play into big pharma making money. What do you say to that?
Well, that's right, Grace. And big pharma's controlled a huge part of this narrative in such a way that's now just so obvious when you have the CEO of big pharma, Pfizer, say on Face the Nation that people will definitely need a fourth booster, a fourth shot. I mean, basically serving as de facto head of the U.S. CDC, since our CDC has basically deferred so many things to big pharma. People are frustrated. By the way, I wrote this piece, 10 Biggest COVID Mistakes, not because I'm interested in the blame game. I've been in medicine a long time. You've got to learn lessons so you can do better in the future. So the thing that people need is closure. People made a huge sacrifice. Many lost their businesses. Their kids suffered. They were isolated. We now see the effects of profound isolation. A report just came out showing an increased rates of dementia by 50% and heart disease by 29%. People made a huge sacrifice. They deserve to ask, how did our public health officials do? So I go through the different issues.
And just what you mentioned right there, just asking, you know, if mistakes were made, what we could do better, that has really become something that you're not allowed to do now without being deplatformed. I know a lot of doctors and experts who were run out of town for just questioning some things, which I think was always part of the medical field, was you're supposed to question things and get to the bottom of things. Another section, and this kind of goes along with that, of this piece is devoted to the issue of spacing out the vaccine. I haven't heard a lot about this. I always just thought, you know, you got the dose, then they gave you a time to come back. I didn't hear a lot of discrepancy about that. But you mentioned that after 250 million Americans received the vaccine, the CDC is now changing their guidance on that. Can you tell us about that shift?
Yeah, it turns out with any vaccine in medicine, the longer you space out the doses, the better the immunity and the lower the side effect profile. And many of us have been concerned about the side effects because you can't study them. They're brushed under the rug. The CDC won't investigate them. And every time we learn about myocarditis in kids, it's more and more frequent than the previous study suggested. Now we recognize it's one in 1,800 young men get myocarditis after the second dose. We're playing with fire. We don't know what that means long term for the kids. And so these vaccine-related complications have been really downplayed. And many of us said, look, space out the doses. No vaccine is given 3 weeks apart in all of medicine. Space them out, you lower the side effects, and you increase the immunity. And public health officials fought with us to the bitter death. And then finally, 2 years into it, they say, okay, you were right, and they changed their guidance.
Yeah, and the only person writing about it is you and a handful of other people, whereas I think this would be big news because it's something that people were very hesitant to get their children vaccinated to begin with, especially their teenagers and their teenage boys, as you pointed out, the problem with myocarditis. I'm speaking with Dr. McCary here. When I told my audience that you were coming on the show, I kind of threw it out to them for questions. I received a lot of questions about boosters for young people, and I know you touch on this in your latest piece on Fox, and you also break down this pressure that is on the FDA to approve these boosters for young people. Do you think this is necessary?
Well, I'd love to see the data to support boosters in young people. It doesn't exist. And the CDC on their own website left out the data on hospitalizations with boosters in people under 50, but they included all the other data. Why are they hiding that data? They definitely have that data. Remember, two top FDA officials quit the agency after decades there because of interference from the White House over this particular issue, pushing the authorization of boosters in young people. They wrote very open and scathing articles saying that they don't believe there's data to support it. And when the FDA did authorize it, they basically did it by bypassing their experts. They chose not to convene their expert advisory board because they knew the experts were against it. So there's no data to support it. The experts are against it. People are afraid to speak up in academics for fear of being labeled anti-vax. And what you have is this groupthink where institutions like universities automatically required it the second it was authorized by the FDA, even though it ignores natural immunity, something that is inexplicable among public health leaders.
When you talk about not convening the experts on their advisory board about these FDA approvals, is that something that's typical in medicine, or is this a new thing?
I've never heard of it in my career. So what happens is when the FDA gets something, they put it in front of their experts for a vote. And what happened with the boosters for young people, they put it in front of the experts for a vote, and the experts voted it down 16-2 against. Then the FDA told Pfizer, hey, look, we really want to get this authorized. Apply again, and we're going to go through our process a second time. This time, we're not going to call a vote. We won't even convene the expert advisory committee. And lo and behold, that's how we got boosters authorized for young people.
When you go into the fact that the NIH could have funded or could have used their funding for research into certain aspects of this disease, of this virus and how it spreads and what is effective mitigation, you talk about that and how they kind of pivoted funding important things like the effectiveness of cloth masks and also surface spread for COVID, which we were told for months, you know, it's spread on countertops and packages. Tell us why you think it's important to call out the fact that Dr. Fauci and the NIH could have done this research if they wanted to. In fact, with cloth masks, you say they could have done this test within the first 10 days to figure out this effectiveness. Why don't you think they did that?
Yeah, remember those days? You've got to wash your hands for a full 20 seconds and get every nook and cranny. And that was the recommendation from January until May. I mean, almost 5 months, public health officials failed to do their job and get that research done. It could have been done in a week. In 1 week, if the NIH had done their job, if Dr. Fauci had done his job, they would have immediately pivoted some of their $42 billion budget at the NIH and done the experiments to establish whether or not cloth masks work, whether or not it was surface transmission or an aerosolized virus, and many of the questions that were unanswered. And guess what happened? When we didn't get answers to the basic scientific questions, political opinions filled that void. And that's how this became so politicized. Dr. Fauci, I think, is a person who's well-intended. I think he intends no harm. I just think he failed in that job to provide the research we needed, and we didn't get the guidance we needed. So that's how we're so divided over this pandemic.
Dr. Marty McCary, I have to ask you, I think a huge element of this, especially with parents of young children, is the emotional manipulation that, you know, your kids are in danger, they need to wear masks. And I've talked to a lot of parents who struggle with that, who, you know, that they're trying to figure out what science to follow. When you hear that schools, a lot of schools, are still requiring young children to wear masks, what do you make of this at this point, 2 years out of this pandemic, or 2 years, you know, of this pandemic?
Well, I think there are people who have a distorted perception of risk out there from COVID in children. The Sonia Sotomayors of this country, who think there were 100,000 kids in the hospital at one point, many on ventilators, as she said. People are listening to NPR and some of these media outlets that are dangling so much fear among young people. And the reality is there's a 10,000-fold difference at risk between a young and an older person. We've never accepted that as a country. So kids are defenseless. They don't have a voice in this debate. And so they have borne the harshest restrictions almost in this sort of virtual signaling fighting among adults. And the kids have been sort of the lines in the sand. The only people in America right now forced to wear masks are toddlers and children, servers, waiters, waitresses, and staff. That's a disgrace. That is a social inequity anybody should look at and say, this is wrong. Many times these are the lowest risk people in the entire country.
My last question for you, Dr. Marty McCary, you just talked a little bit about Dr. Fauci, and I was curious if you agree with Senator Rand Paul, who thinks that his position, Fauci's position at the NIH, should be eliminated. So in the future, we don't have a public health official who thinks that he, you know, is the science, that he represents all science. Would you agree with that?
Well, I think George Washington was onto something when he thought that he shouldn't be king for life in the United States, that we should rotate leadership. You know, part of diversity, which everyone claims to believe in, is age diversity. And we've had a small group of old men making all the decisions on COVID. Where's the fresh ideas? Where's the young people? Where's the voice of researchers that had different opinions? Our public health leaders should not serve terms like African presidents, where they're in there for 40 and 50 years. We should have a fresh new group of ideas. So I do think there's value to getting new leadership. We're going to need it because people need closure. And right now, they need to see an apology and some fresh new leadership.
Dr. Marty McCary is the author of The Price We Pay. He's also a professor at Johns Hopkins and just an incredible doctor and a very, very good writer. So everyone should read his stuff at foxnews.com. Doctor, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Great to be with you, Grace. Thanks.
All right. When we get back, we will keep this conversation going as far as COVID and some of these mitigation efforts that are proving over time to have been pointless. And I know that's hard for a lot of people to hear, but that is the ugly truth, unfortunately. We also have a lot of sound to get to. We'll be taking all of your calls, whether it's about Ukraine, Russia, COVID. We are here. We'll talk a little bit about inflation. So much more to get to. It's 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. She's the friend you never knew you needed.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Okay, make that best friend. It's Grace Curley.
I'm not going to comment on that right now. I'm not going to comment on anything other than what I told you. Thank you.
Well, Mr. President, if this happens,
Mr. President,
quickly, you did mention that Putin is going after.
We need more booing in our country right now. I think the boos are very effective. You know, I was really thinking about that because Kathy Hochul, as we played before, she went out and dropped the puck at the Rangers game at Madison Square Garden, and she just got washed out in boos. And it's interesting when you hear these, like, small groups of people watching Biden, and they're, and they're giving him all this love and support. Is it a two-drink minimum at the White House? Like, what is happening? Because regular people are not feeling like that. So it must be all Beltway hacks who were told, listen, if you come in, you know, we need someone to fill the seat. It's like a seat filler at the Oscars. We need someone to fill the seat. I'm sure they offered them a free sandwich. I don't think they could pay them, technically. But all you got to do is sit there, make the show look interesting, laugh really loud, and you got to get a couple free turkey sandwiches.
Jen Psaki is holding up an applause sign that's blinking every time.
Yeah.
Laugh. Applaud. It was from the fake White House set, so.
I think that has to be the case, because if he went out to a normal crowd, you know, just like a normal event, like a hockey game, he would get booed. There's just no doubt, because in that Hochul one, if you listen towards the end, someone actually goes, "Let's go, Brandon." So they can't even wait. They're like busting at the seams to boo Joe Biden. It's pretty impressive. We have a lot more today in this big show to get to, but there's something on my cut sheet that I'm not quite sure what it is. It's Cory Booker, or as we like to call him here, we like to call him by his real name, Spartacus. And Cory was telling us a story. In this story, he's got his sweatshirt on, his headphones, his AirPods or whatever. It looks like he's going on a run or a walk. And he filled us in on a little something. Cut 9.
Two seriously ill men shared a hospital room. They bonded in their misery. They were going through terrible health challenges. One man was by a window, and every day, very painfully, he had to have his bed lifted so he was sitting up and his lungs can drain. It was really uncomfortable, but his friend saw that he could see out the window, and he said, "Oh, I'm so jealous. You could see out the window. I haven't seen the outside world in so long." And with that, his friend turned his head and looked out the window and began what was a daily lift to the other man. He began describing every day what he saw, whether it was children playing, people walking their dogs, couples walking arm in arm, the way the light played and danced amongst the trees. Well, one morning he called out to his friend by the window, and the friend didn't answer. It's non-responsive. He called for the nurse. The nurse came in, and indeed, his friend had died. Well, he eventually asked to have his bed moved next to the window, and to the delight of the nurse, he began effort. He, with grit and guts, he began to raise himself up inches more and more every day until he, finally, weeks later, he was able to get his hands on that windowsill, and he pulled himself up to look over. That's when he saw it. He was staring at a brick wall. He turned to the nurse and said, "How could my friend lie to me like this? Why was he doing this?" And the woman said, "He was lifting you with his descriptions. He was elevating your spirit." And
okay, hold on. Pause it. I'm going to say something. This is a hot take, and everyone's going to be like, "What, Grace?" I actually think that's a nice story. I actually, see, Jared set that up like it was going to be a bunch of nonsense. I know it's not aimed at anything, but it's a feel-good story. You didn't like that, Jared. Well, don't be shy now. Tell the audience why you didn't like it.
It was just this. Well, you didn't let it play out completely, but it's just, you see,
I think
this,
I got the gist.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Was there a twist at the end?
Oh,
I thought the brick wall was kind of the twist.
Oh no, there's a twist.
Okay.
You need to know your friend was blind. Chaucer said that love is blind. I don't agree with that. I think people who
see he's lost me a little bit now. He said, right? Okay, yeah, the last choice was a little much. Well, but up until that point, it was a nice story.
It was a fine story, but I'm watching it with Taylor back here. I'm like, and we're both sitting there like, is this a joke? Like, where is he going with this? This is presented with no context. No, just a video of Senator Spartacus, presumably in Newark. It looked cold. I don't know. But he just presents this video where he tells this story that may be a joke or may not. And I guess it's supposed to be a parable, but I don't know.
It does sound a little bit Michael Scott at the end, like things are just coming up too quick. But the general idea of it, I could get behind. 844-500-4242. Spartacus is just trying to spread joy, Jared. And that's clearly not the business you're in right now. Coming at him.
We are hate radio, so.
844-500-4242. Stay on the lines. I see someone on the line wants to talk about Ed Markey and Daylight Savings Time. Hey, I'm up for it. Why not? We'll be right back. It's the Grace Curley Show.
You need to know your friend was blind.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
The Senate just passed daylight savings time to make it year-round. We're walking on sunshine.
Hey, if Ed Markey's happy, then I'm happy. You think he's going to give any free frosty treats for everyone?
Well, longer daylight in the afternoon means longer ice cream sale time.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Somebody look into the Logan Act on this guy, or the Hatch Act, or one of those acts that nobody knows about that we hear about.
Well, you know what I always say, Jared? Follow the money. This could all be a ploy for the ice cream trucks, but I'm down for it.
A drumstick fat cash, you know?
More ice cream trucks on the road is something I can get behind. That is a bipartisan.
Electric ice cream trucks.
That's tough, though. They use a lot of energy, you know, to keep those treats so cool. Yeah. What's your favorite? What's your go-to for the ice cream truck? Mine's Chipwich all the way.
Mine's just the classic ice cream sandwich. I love it. The vanilla ice cream with the chocolate cake-like whatever.
Oof. Boring. That is basic stuff. But I support it, Jared. Yeah, those are okay.
I'm a classic, you know, classics guy.
The worst is the ones with like the gumball eyeballs, like the SpongeBob.
Oof. Oh, yeah.
Creep me out. Dave, you're next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, good afternoon. I look forward to your show every day.
Thank you.
As I drive down the road here, it really makes my day move along very good. Everything that's going on in the country, everything that's going on in the world, all the issues between immigration, inflation, fuel prices, World War III on the brink, and this is what he chooses to waste his time on, daylight savings time. Are you effing, you know what I'm saying? So now I call D.C. I call the Senate. I call his office. But because of COVID, still hiding behind that, you can't even talk to your representative.
Yeah, and
I ask him about it. That's the frustration. I mean, I'm literally frustrated.
I would also add in. Sorry, I don't want to cut you off, but I would also add in: you're never going to see him around these parts. He does not come to Massachusetts a lot. This is a very foreign place to him. So just add that onto your frustrations. But go ahead, keep going. I'm going to let you vent.
Poster boy for term limits. Your previous guest said, you know, we got a bunch of old white men making decisions.
Yeah.
He's a poster boy for the, you know, if you're a Republican or you're someone who wants to get out there and be a candidate, please go and do so. And we got to get rid of these people because their priorities are totally out of whack. They're not for what the working family in Massachusetts needs. And that's all I got to say. But thank you for letting me vent because I'm pretty PO'd.
I don't blame you, and thank you so much for calling in. Call back. What I will say about Markey is he has really fortified his position. I mean, he beat a Kennedy for his seat because he teamed up with Squad. You know, he teamed up with the progressives. And at one point he did something, I can't remember what it was, that ticked off the progressives. I think it was he was supporting more funding for the defense in Israel, like the dome. And that really ticked off his far left progressive supporters. But he has been, that was the only thing that saved him. He knew, he saw the writing on the wall, you know, so he teamed up with AOC for the Green New Deal. He's big on this daylight savings time thing, but his only saving grace, and it did work because like I said, he beat a Kennedy for his spot, but he really did put all his money in the fact that if he teamed up with these far left radicals that he could, you know, stay, even though he's an old white man. Because a lot of those old white men who didn't go far left enough, that's how AOC, I know it's different because Markey's a senator and AOC's a congresswoman, but that was how she got her spot because she saw a Democrat who, you know, wasn't putting in that much effort in the Bronx. And as far as campaigning, he'd been there for a long time and she decided, hey, I can go in there. He's not far left. His ideas aren't sexy enough. And she won. She beat him. And that's what they're doing systematically all over the country with the help of you know, all of this big Democrat fundraisers and, you know, you have all this dark money and all this stuff. But what's interesting is that Markey knew that that was his future if he didn't really, really make his loyalty clear to the squad. And that is what he did. Now, you just mentioned, though, that last caller just mentioned all the things that are going wrong in the Biden administration, all the things in the world we have to worry about. There's There's a piece in The Hill. Get ready, Bal, for this. Here comes the Biden recession. I'm just going to read you a quick little bit of this, and then I'd love for people to weigh in.
Get ready, Bal.
Because my mind at this point, I can't think of any more doom and gloom. There's just so much doom and gloom when you wake up that thinking about the next possible doom and gloom is just a bit overwhelming, you know? It's like you got to just take small bites and chew your food and get it down, because every time you look at one of these things that could happen, it's like you just want to cry. But it says the Biden recession, just when you thought things could not get worse, along comes the very real possibility of a downturn thanks to Bidenomics, the war in Ukraine, and an inept Federal Reserve. A year ago, during a robust recovery, such a forecast would have seemed ludicrous. A top Wall Street economist, I don't know if he's one of Biden's 17 Nobel laureates, but I won't let that destroy my faith in this article, recently conducted an informal poll of his firm's clients. To his surprise, 100% thought the U.S. would be in a recession by next year. Why such gloom? Well, it starts with accelerating inflation caused by out-of-control government spending. Fact check, Nancy Pelosi says that is not true, and Pete Buttigieg also says that is not true. We have no reason to believe that. Government spending, pshaw, pshaw. And it's also caused by measures taken by the Biden White House that kept workers on the sidelines. Inflation is also being fueled by soaring energy prices thanks to lower U.S. production amid reviving growth, and now the disruption to Russian oil exports. The past four recessions have been preceded by sharp hikes in energy prices. $120 oil is a red flag. To combat spiraling prices, the Federal Reserve must begin raising rates aggressively, which will slow growth. Investors hope the central bank will manage a soft landing. History tells us the odds are low, and especially for today's Fed, which has been behind the curve for months. Combined with sinking optimism, down stock markets, and declining real incomes, the stage is set for a slump. And if that doesn't make you think there's going to be a slump, I've got news for you. We talk a lot about Kamala Harris. We actually, you know what, Jared, we actually should play a little bit of our favorite game here at the Grace Curley Show. Where in the world is Kamala Harris?
Freedom!
Tell me, where in the world is
Kamala Harris?
Tell me, where in the world?
Oh, tell me, where can't she be?
That's
Now, Kamala has been playing peacemaker for the last couple of weeks, and if you've checked in at all on the situation, you would realize it hasn't been going well. You know, if I had to grade it, I'd have to first of all grade it on a curve. I would just say she's not had a lot of success.
That's the truth.
At least not by my definition of success. But I'm sure that there's some trolls on Twitter who could.
Hey, she got NATO into the Ukraine. I mean,
Ukraine
into NATO.
She did twice. Actually, I'm glad you brought that up, because she's been taken off the Ukraine beat. Unfortunately, I know. I hate to break this to everyone, because she really did make us feel so confident in her abilities while she was meeting with different leaders. Biden, I have so many Biden-Harris columns. This is the one I want to read. Harris to become Biden road warrior. So for the next couple of weeks, this is again from The Hill. I got a lot of stuff from The Hill today. Kamala Harris will travel to Louisiana on Friday, and there will likely be another domestic trip next week, according to sources familiar with the vice president's schedule. The sources say it's the return to a more typical schedule for a vice president. You know what that means? She got the boot. They were like, no, we can't. You know what it was, Jared? It was the second Ukraine-NATO mix-up. I think the first one, they were like, all right, you know, we'll edit the transcript. Don't worry about it. But the second one, it's like, okay,
you're benched, kid.
Good luck. We're going to send you to Louisiana.
Taking you off the big accounts.
But I have to say, this piece in the Hill makes it seem like she's going to have a lot to tout as she goes across the country. But at least we'll know where she is. You know, we'll get a lot of laughs.
I eat no for breakfast.
And the upside of that is she can't really, at least if she's not being asked about Ukraine or anything else, she won't have as much inappropriate laughter. For some reason, those topics really bring out the giggles. But yeah, so you can expect her to return to a more typical schedule. The vice president will also be holding larger events at the White House and at other stops around the country. To me, this says we're going to get a lot more Kamala Harris explains the internet. We're going to get a lot more Kamala Harris stops at bakeries. We're going to get a lot more Kamala Harris goes to yarn shops and talks about how she likes to knit or sew. Right? This is a good thing.
We're pulling you as a line cook, lady. Go up front and be a hostess. Thanks.
You couldn't cut it, kid. I hate to break it to you.
Back to understudy.
I hope Doug is going to be around to comfort her when she finds out that she's... Yes. Sorry. You're back to second string. You know, we tried it out. We gave you a chance. It just didn't work. You threw a couple Hail Marys. Didn't come through. But the more frightening thing is that now they're sending out another person to handle these issues, and that would be Joe Biden. And this is something we grapple with here on this show on almost a daily basis. What's worse? You know, pick your poison. Who do you want over there? Yeah, will Kamala Harris say crazy things that don't make any sense and weird quotes that look like they could be something you found on a poster board at TJ Maxx? She sure will. But will she walk into the bushes or get lost in the cafeteria or, you know, forget who her spouse is? Probably not. So it's kind of like, which way do you want to go, you know?
Oh, we also have some safety because there's another guy that can help us out. Maybe we could send our commander here guy out.
I mean, it's god awful. I was speaking about this with our commander behind me here, General Milley.
The weird thing is that he's always mentioning people, knowing he doesn't know their name, like knowing it's going to take him a minute, but he still can't help himself. General Milley. Oh boy, yeah, that. I should mention, did you see the picture? Speaking of leaders who are just completely inept, the AFT president, Randy Weingarten, who is just proving to be a horrible person as the days go on. She was really, really a strong voice for keeping schools shut down and for making sure kids fell as far behind as possible in academics. And she was holding up a We Stand With Ukraine sign, a flag. There's one problem, though. It was backwards. It was upside down. And the comments underneath this picture, I'm talking Trump derangement. Like, this is how far Trump derangement's become. This is how far it's gotten, where you have to defend a moron who's holding a sign up the wrong way by saying, when a sign, I actually saw this. This is not me making this up. When a sign is upside down, it means that there is chaos in the country. And that means that there are things that are going wrong. So she was probably holding it upside down on purpose. And someone just replies back to this lady and goes, nice try. It was a good effort, you know, take the L, but like it's a good effort.
Yeah, like in World War II when camps were under siege, they'd put the American flag upside down to let anybody outside know that their camp had been taken over. They were under duress. I'm sure that's exactly what the president of the AFT is doing. Maybe instead of focusing on masking kids, focus on teaching them geography and colors.
Well, I mean, I would just love if they would just step out of any of these jobs. I mean, this is just a real good case for why Randy Weingarten should not be teaching anyone's children or running a teacher's union.
Defund the government.
Absolutely. The allergy season caused by trees begins in March and runs through June. This pollen is colorless and odorless, so you may not realize the allergy season has already started, but it has. One big collector of pollen is your car. Jared, you always experience this, especially around this time of year, where you start seeing the pollen or you just start feeling it before it even really comes.
Yeah, and you know, it's getting warmer. It's going to be almost 70 at the end of the week, so your windows are down, but you can combat that by using the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, because the Thunderstorm unit, when you buy it, it comes with an actual USB cable that you just plug into the unit. You plug it into the USB port in your car, and in your car, just like in your home or your basement, anywhere else, you can turn on the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, and in your car, it immediately starts ionizing the air. It sends out ions, and that creates a super oxygen, and that can eliminate odors, but it can also eliminate allergens and pollutants in the air. Stuff you don't want to be breathing, especially if you have seasonal allergies.
Yes, and right now you can get the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-pack. The best part is you don't have to replace any air filters, which of course saves you time and money. Get ready for allergy season in your home and car now. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code GRACE3. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code GRACE3. So they're taking Kamala off of the peace beat and they're putting her back on the road again. You know, she said, I'd never been to Europe. Well, you're not going back anytime soon, lady. Get used to the old USA.
there's a state fair in Peoria, Illinois that needs some, Peoria, Arizona that needs some opening. Why don't you go cut some ribbons, kid?
She going to get a pair of big scissors, perhaps?
Yes.
Who doesn't love the big scissors? 844-500-4242. We'll take all your calls when we come back. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Now is the time to spring into action and run for state office in Massachusetts. You only need 150 signatures to run for the state legislature. Visit massfiscal.org to learn more. Again, that website is massfiscal.org. Contact our friends at massfiscal.org to learn how to run for office. Jared, what's the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Do you support Congress's bill to permanently remain on daylight saving time?
Yes, I do. I'm walking on sunshine.
Up to 66% now say yes.
I'll never,
34% for no.
I'll never hear that song the same again. David, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, David.
Hello, Grace. How are you?
I'm good. What's
going
on?
This is my first time calling you, and I'm tremendously excited. So thank you. Thank you. This is awesome.
Of course.
Grace, you know, if every decision in the past year was based or predicated with America first or what's in the best interest of us, the American taxpayer, who the politicians don't seem to care about, I think that our country would be in a much, much different place. I just think that they just don't care. The politicians don't care about Americans.
Yeah, and I would add on to that, David, that what you're seeing now is an administration that's hell-bent on not doing what's best for the American people and not even doing what's worse for the American people. They're just hell-bent on doing the opposite of what the last guy did. And what the last guy did, the former guy, the orange man, Donald J. Trump, was, if you take away everything else, the tweets, the rally comments, whatever he used to say, his policies were very America first. And so now what we're seeing is when you do the exact opposite of that and you put America last, this is what happens. America last isn't good for any country. The world is not doing better now that Joe Biden has put us last, in case people haven't figured that out. Thanks for the call, David. Corey, go ahead. You're next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Corey.
Well, first off, Grace, you made me choke on my drink hearing Rock Capella sing Carmen Sandiego. See, that's like the Sesame Street for geography, but it was a great show. I grew up with it. Anyway, CNN did a report either, it was yesterday or 2 days ago. Now, I'm a Democrat, shoot me later, but I loved it how they did a report on nurses and discharged armed forces themselves, just them going from America over to Ukraine to help fight. And the nurses are going over there to help the wounded, and they did a story on a honorably discharged Marine. And they said it was a few thousand. Now, I don't think it's a few thousand. I think it's maybe closer to 1,000. But my issue is that we may have a problem if Putin says, okay, you're going to send Marines, nurses, my finger's on the button.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are thinking about that and also a hostage problem if we're not careful. 844-500-4242. Thank you for the call. We'll be right back with more.